You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz, and we are speaking to Charlie Smith, the editor of Pancouver. Charlie, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thanks, Minkaren. I hope all's well at Spice Radio.
We are doing well, Charlie, and my goodness, there is so much to cover, as I was telling you earlier, so let's get into it. One big story that's been getting a lot of attention in the news, especially this last week, is it seems many students across the U.S. are protesting for Palestine on campus, and it seems the crackdowns have intensified. Hundreds have been arrested. So, Charlie, can you tell us what's going on here?
Yeah, there's pretty heavy-handed response, that's for sure. And Columbia University in New York was a flashpoint earlier this week, but now it's been spreading, and it's not just students who are being arrested. There was a pretty shocking video on CNN where a professor, Carolyn Folan, came across the violent arrest of a protester on campus. So she asked, what's going on? And the police threw her to the ground, her head against the pavement. An officer with submachine guns standing over top of her. And and she's saying, I'm a professor. And this is, it does seem what's going on is the you know, almost violence that we're seeing in terms of the repression of these protests. 108 arrests at Emerson College. Boston police were telling CBS News 93 people arrested at University of Southern California, University of Texas in Austin, 34 people arrested. It's just going on all over the place, and part of it is you know, the students are upset about what's happening to Palestinians at the hands of the Israel Defense Forces, and then some in the Jewish community are very upset about what they see as anti-Semitism on campus, and it's all collided into this big mess, and it's unfortunate for Joe Biden as he's doing his reelection because it's driving a wedge within the Democratic Party as well. But the arrests are certainly capturing a lot of attention on the media because it's also so visually startling to see what's going on.
It is. And the images are the thing that I do find quite startling as well. Because, you know, when we think of a university campus, I mean, regardless of whatever the issue is, I mean, it is meant to kind of be a space where there are always protests and movements going on. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was in university, there was constantly protests going on. So just to see this reaction is quite unsettling, especially in these spaces that, you know, you're kind of allowed to have freedom of speech. What do you think of that, Charlie?
Yeah. Normally, the right to freedom of assembly and free speech is kind of a cornerstone of academia. And now we're seeing pretty severe repression. I think, you know, there are limits on free speech if it's, ventures into hate speech, for instance, and you can't scream fire in a crowded movie theater. That free speech doesn't go that far. So, you know, it's a fine line, and where the line is set, but there are constitutional rights here, and I think serious questions on whether those constitutional rights are being trampled on.
Certainly, Charlie. Now, another story, too, that's getting a lot of attention worldwide is Trump is accused of trying to cover up 130,000 payments to adult star Stormy Daniels before he won the presidency in 2016. And right now, his trial is going on as we speak. And a lot of people are following this because we know, obviously, Trump being the Republican candidate, he's running for president. There's a lot of questions about, you know, depending on the verdict of this case, you know, if he's found guilty, will he still be able to run for president of the United States? Like, all this is so unprecedented, Charlie. So what do we know so far?
Yeah, he can run for president, even if he's in jail. And that's something that I don't think people realize. But you can run from jail. There was a socialist candidate for president, Eugene Debs, who was in jail over a century ago and still ran for president. So, but at the same time, I think a conviction is really going to hurt Trump, I believe, with independent voters, particularly, you know, his true believers, he can do no wrong. But if a jury of his peers finds him guilty in court based on evidence, then the other thing that's interesting about this trial in New York is it's really shining a light not just on a payment to an adult film star, but also about the motive behind it, and the testimony of David Pecker, former head of the head of the National Enquirer and Trump's friend, is suggesting that it was all intended to keep stories out of the news. This kind of catch and quash approach of stories, keep them out of the news so that it wouldn't hurt his effort to be elected. And this came at the same time as the Access Hollywood tape and all of that. So Trump was, you know, is this a case of election cheating, for instance, this payment? And he's being charged with a bunch of, you know, hiding a payment as a, you know, a business expense and a legal expense and all of that. And it wasn't that in law, according to the prosecutors. But the bigger picture is, was he trying to cheat in the 2016 election by concealing a campaign expense? And I think if that comes out, that's going to inflict some damage on his reelection efforts.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're all going to be watching this one very closely, Charlie. Now, moving locally here, obviously the Vancouver Canucks are in the playoffs. Very exciting. You can feel the excitement in the air. But there have been a lot of questions about whether, you know, Vancouverites will have an outdoor viewing party. We've seen a couple other municipalities have viewing parties. But finally, Mayor Ken Sim came out and he said, not this time. What do you think of his decision there, Charlie?
Yeah, he says, we have a history. And I was actually downtown for both of the riots. 1994, just before it exploded on Robson Street, I could feel the tension in the air, and the same in 2011. Both times the Canucks lost Game 7. I think this may be a moot point this year because I'm not sure the Canucks are going to make it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, because there's another parallel story, and it looks like Thatcher Demko, the goalie, might be out at least for the entire series against the Nashville Predators. And without Thatcher Demko, you know, I think the Canucks are going to have a tougher road ahead of them. But at the same time, Ken Sim pointed to that. I think a lot of the young people are upset, and they think, you know, we're not going to start a riot. That was the stupid older generations. And also there were a bunch of controls that have been proposed, like ticketing, for instance, and limiting the size. Neither of those occurred in 1994 or 2011. 2011, they had a viewing party. They didn't have the viewing party downtown in 1994. But I think Ken Sim is also responding to part of his political base, which is property owners in the downtown. And they don't like, the bar owners love it, obviously, but the property owners have gone through this a couple of times, and I think Ken Sim is standing up and waving a caution flag, and he's far enough away from an election, which won't take place until 2026, so he may not pay the price, but I do think there is an appetite in Vancouver for these viewing parties.
But honestly, Charlie, like, this is just my opinion, and Natasha and I were talking about this earlier. Like, she feels, oh, we should have viewing parties, and I just feel, based on history and what it's shown us, we cannot be trusted yet. Like, I just feel like this something needs to change.
Well, one of the things, too, is I did an article about what actually goes on in the brains of rioters. They're young. Their prefrontal cortexes haven't fully developed. They're drinking. They're not eating. And then they exhibit this kind of crowd-like behavior when they all stampede, like a herd of animals. And this actually, there's very interesting science about what underscores that. But I also believe that the city can take steps to prevent that, those conditions from arising. And but at the same time, you know, you have to get to a heightened state of tension that a Game 7 will elicit for something like that to occur, and we're a long way from the Canucks getting there. They could have viewing parties and say, we're not going to have viewing parties, you know, for the final game of the series.
That's a good point. Maybe that is what they should do, not for the final. Everybody stay home for the final so there isn't that, like, kind of crazy reaction. You know,
I'm not and force them to stay home when the Canucks are on the verge of elimination.
Just send everybody home when you can see that. Okay, you know what? Things aren't going so well. Go home early. You know, I'm not going to lie. When I see the Toronto Raptors, especially, I think it was 2019 when they won the championships, and I was kind of jealous of the fact that they had their cute little Jurassic Park and everybody was gathering and the city was so happy. And I'm like, how nice. Like, they always have viewing parties all the time. So sometimes I'm a little envious, but like I said, I'm okay with this decision from the mayor. I'm good. I'll be okay with it, Charlie.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your time, Charlie. You have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, my pleasure. Bye.